好，今天呢，今天是佛陀，我们庆祝佛诞嘛，哈，所以不是很严肃的讲经。那本来应该是果缘法师要来跟大家分享，结果呢，他不小心接了一个墨西哥的禅期，所以他现在在墨西哥，然后我就来串场了哈。
Today's talk is about for the Buddha's birthday. So the nature of it isn't so serious or solemn. And originally, today's speaker was Guo Yuan Fa Shi, but for some reason, accidentally, he had accepted to lead a retreat in Mexico. So currently, he's in Mexico and not with us.
Okay. 好，那我今天呢，选择讲佛陀跟他的母亲哈，摩耶夫人的故事哈。也是源自于之前讲过地藏经。那我们在庆祝一个小孩子的生日的时候呢，其实以中国人的传统来讲，我们的生日就是母亲的什么母难受难日哈、哦。所以母子的生命是非常紧密的关联的。
So today I'm going to share with you some stories of the Buddha as well as his mother, Mayadevi, Queen Mayadevi. And, the reason why we're also continue this talk is also related to, the sutra that we have been working on and discussing for the past few months, which is all the series of sutra from Chittagabra Bodhisattva, the Earth Store Bodhisattva. According to the Chinese tradition, as well as in many cultures, a birthday is a day where the mother actually undergoes a lot of turmoils and difficulties. And from that point, a baby's life and the mother's life are tightly knitted and integrated.
这张图哈是十法界哈，那在我们佛教徒的这个世界观跟宇宙观里面呢，不是只有人跟动物，我们不仅讲六道轮回，其实我们的存在呢有十个法界哈。那上面四个呢是贤圣贤，下面呢是凡夫哈。那我们一般凡夫就是在六道里面轮回哈。
So this is a diagram that depicts the Buddhist cosmetology. So oftentimes we talk about the six realms, which includes human realms, animal realms, etc. But beyond these six realms, there are actually ten realms, according to the Buddhist cosmetology. The top four belongs to the stages of saints and sages, and the lower six are of the ordinary beings, such as human beings, animals, and ghosts.
那在这个十法界的存在，上面四个是他们可以随意自在，我们凡夫就必须要靠业力的牵引，就没有办法说你想去哪儿就哪儿，你想做什么就做什么。那今天呢，我们要谈的是佛陀的诞生。佛陀是何许人也？他来到这个世间不是因为业力，而是因为他要救度众生的愿力。那他的诞生的机制呢，跟我们凡夫这个投生的机制是有一点点不一样的。
So for those beings that belong to the top four realms, their birth and existence are pretty much controlled by them.But for people or beings in the lower six realms, we are actually driven by karma, our karmic power and the patterns. So it's not within our own control. And so today our focus is to talk about Buddha's birthday. And the Buddha, the way he was born, being reborn as a human being, he's not driven or controlled by karma, but motivated by his own vows.And the way that he was born, the mechanisms involved are also drastically different than what we know as human beings.
我非常抱歉，因为昨天赶工，本来不要给 PowerPoint， 赶工之后，于是乎没有英文翻译。 但是我相信 Annie 翻译一定会翻译得很清楚哈，就是非常抱歉。
I want to apologize in advance. I had to finish this PowerPoint last minute yesterday, so we weren't able to provide the English translation. But the translator will do her best.
那这个图 ，OK， 这个图呢有不同的颜色呢，基本上是中间是头生的时候呢，那我们要投生的时候哈，有那个驱动力哈，大致分为四种。那上面就大修行人呢，他是可以随念或是随愿。好，像比如说，这个阿弥陀佛四十八愿哈，或是说我们想要求生西方极乐世界这个愿力呢，他会带领我们去我们想要去的地方。那随念呢有不同的解释，我看到的一个解释是说，假设我们修行人定力很强，就是你的念，我们对于我们的念可以自主的话呢，比如说像达赖喇嘛，他往生的时候，他在往生之前他就可以写下说他要投生哪一家哪里哪一户人家，那他往生的时候他的念心念就过去了哈，那这是大修行人。
So this diagram explains there are four different ways that a person's rebirth can be determined. And for people who are good practitioners, usually the way their rebirth is determined, there are two different ways. One is according to their vows. So for instance, Amitabha Bodhisattva, he made the 48 vows, great vows.And so that's what determined the way he's reborn or the world that he created. Or some practitioner have been reciting the Buddha's name and long vowed and clear, firm about it, that they want to be reborn in the Western Pure Land. And so that's also an example of how one's rebirth can be determined by one's vows. And the second one is by the thoughts.And there are different interpretations that I have looked at. Good practitioners, if their meditative power is very firm and strong, then they can decide where they want to go to in their next life. A good example would be His Holiness Dalai Lama, because his vows and thoughts are so strong, so determined that upon...at the cusp of his passing away, he's actually able to make decision and be very specific about the kind of families and families and places that he wants to be reborn into.
Okay, 那下面就是我们一般凡夫啊，就是随我们众业或是随我们的习气哈。那我们的众业，假设我们是作恶多端哈，一往生就下去。那如果你是一个大善人齁，一往生你就上升天。那习气呢，那我们中间没有大善大恶的齁，就看啊，假设很容易生气的人齁，往生的时候也生气，就还有一点福报就变阿修罗。假设齁，就是很贪恋自己的东西不要给人的齁，那往生的时候还在怕儿女抢你的财产齁，那你就很容易就变成什么恶鬼道嘛齁。就在这样子轮回。
As far as ordinary sentient beings, ordinary sentient beings are determined, their rebirth are determined by their karma as well as their habitual patterns. These are the two other types. So if someone who has committed a lot, substantial amount of good karma, then they are immediately reborn into the better realms or heavenly realms.Vice versa, if someone who has committed a lot of grave, serious deeds, then they are immediately reborn to the lower realms. So that's according to one's karma that has been created. And the other one is by habitual patterns. So for people who are sort of neutral, who hasn't committed neither substantial amount of good deeds or bad deeds, then their rebirth will be determined by their habits.Habitual patterns. For instance, if someone who is prone to anger, if this is someone who is prone to anger but who has also done some good deeds, then perhaps this person will then be reborn as Asura. On the other hand, if someone who's also prone to anger and impatience and at death, this person is still very concerned about the kids taking over the power or all the wealth, whatnot. With so much anger and with somewhat negative karma, then this person is most likely to be reborn as a hungry ghost.
但是我们往生的时候呢，好，可以借由众人的力量、善知识的力量的引导，然后超越自，就是突破自己习气的一个牵绊，然后随着自己哈念佛的那个念头或是发的愿，然后可以往好的地方去。那我今天早上得知哈，我们的周之华菩萨昨天晚上往生。有很多老菩萨应该认识他嘛，那他希望低调处理，所以呢也没有告别式，但是呢我们可以怎么样，我们可以念佛，把这个心愿这个念力呢传达给他，帮助他在这个投生的过程之中呢有正面的力量提起佛号，这就是一种大家彼此助念的一个功德。
But still, when one is about to pass away, all is not lost. It's possible to rely on the strength of people around you to provide you with some strength as well as guidance, to help you settle the mind and to refocus, to make vows and to recite the Buddha's name. This can also facilitate the process and help with the rebirth.This morning, I received a phone call that one of the long-term volunteer here, Zhou Zhihua Pusa, had passed away last night. And this Pusa, he is actually she was very low-key, so she didn't want people to have a memorial for her or whatnot. But still, as we are remembering her, we can still, without those ceremonies, we can still recite the Buddha's names and dedicate it to her,hoping that the strength of our recitation and our practice can also lend some force, lend some strength for her to guide her toward a better rebirth.
好，我到现在还没有讲佛陀出生哦，是因为想让大家知道说，一个生命的出生有多么复杂的因缘要合在一起，所以生命是非常珍贵的哦。以前哈，有人问师父，因为大家在讨论那个堕胎的问题，就大家说要不要堕胎，可不可以合法，都对。但是呢，有一次有一个菩萨问师父了，你赞不赞成堕胎呀？这么 challenge 的问题，师父不置可否，他也不说可不可以，但他只是回答那个菩萨一句话，他说。你知道一个生命要来到这个世界，他要等待多久吗？就这样一句话。
So far, I haven't even talked about Buddha's birth. But all these talk so far up to this point is to explain that to be reborn, this process of birth and rebirth is very complicated and complex.And from that, we should know that life itself is extremely valuable. So, I remember before here, people were having discussions about the issues of abortion. And the debate went back and forth, and there doesn't seem to be a very fixed answer. And later on, one of the practitioners, interrogated Shifu directly, confronted him asking, so Shifu, what do you think?What is your stance on the issue of abortion? 师父 didn't give a direct answer. He only asked that person in return that, do you know how valuable it is or how complicated it is or how long it is for a life to be reborn, to be reborn and to be conceived? And that was the only question.That he gave to that person.
那佛陀啊，曾经为阿难讲过一部《佛说入胎经》啊，这个经里面呢，他很清楚的解释我们的这个心事哈，蛮科学的哈，心事怎么入 母亲的胎怎么受精，然后每个月怎么成长，然后怎么出生，真的跟我们那个胚胎学讲的都非常的像。但它里面有讲到一个非常重要的，就是中阴身要入胎的因缘，有三个很重要的因缘。
So there was a sutra on entering the womb that the Buddha had expounded, and the intended audience was Ananda. And in the sutra, the Buddha explained the process of life being conceived and the process of being birth and rebirth, as well as the way a baby grows, develops in the womb. And the sutra actually is very scientific. It corresponds with a lot of the modern science that we understand today. And in this sutra, one of the main point is that for the life in the intermediary state to be conceived and reborn, entering the womb, there are three basic prerequisites.
第一个，这个生命要跟父母的业力跟福报要相似，就是雷同，然后你才可以，不能说今天假设我是一个很没有福报的人，但我很想投身那个皇族之家，我去当公主多好啊，对所有的人的话是，但是呢我想投也投不进去，因为我的福报也不好，跟那个国王跟皇后的姻缘也没有姻缘，就是任何角度都没有办法 click， 你说我想去投身投不了的。
So the first prerequisite is that the being that is waiting to be reborn, this being's karma has to correspond or match in some way with that of the parents. So an example is, say, if I want to be reborn, I want to be born in the royal family, become a royalty, be a princess. Won't that be great? So a lot of people maybe have that kind of wish. Yet, if my karma isn't that wholesome, it's not that abundant, or I haven't accumulated that much good karma, even if I want to be reborn as a royalty, it's not likely going to happen, because my karma in no way matches that of kings and queens.
那你们就知道说，这个我们一天到晚看新闻要投人家那个虽然什么英国嘛还有日本哇，大家都在看那个小公主小王子出生这些也不是随随便便来的那我们的释迦牟尼佛也是王子来的王子嘛然后所以你就知道说当他要投身的时候要投身这个王族之家的时候呢是一定要有特殊因缘的不是一定要这个业力福报是相当的才可以。
So these days, when we watch the news, in newspaper, we can see that, oh, all these royal babies are being born in England, in Japan. And recall that our Buddha, he was reborn as a prince as well. So to be born as a royalty, it really requires some special circumstances. Your karma, as well as merit and virtue, has to be substantial enough for you to be reborn into such families.
那当然了，第二跟第三点就比较是我们生理学的你要配合父母亲的这个月期，然后呢，如果双方父母有人不孕症的话，那也没有办法受胎。即便你跟这个父母很有姻缘但是他不孕，你也没办法投胎的。
And the second and third prerequisite is more related to biology. That the second one is then the process of rebirth has to correspond with the mother's monthly cycles. And the third one is that the parents has to be in good health conditions. So if there's any deficiency in any way, then even if the intermediate life being is karmically highly corresponding with the parents, if either one of the parents is not healthy enough, then that person is still not able to be reborn into the parents.
好，所以呢， 这个投生的这个过程哈，是这样子，经上是这样子写的哈。他是说，这个中阴身要投生的这个中阴身，过去累积的业，再加上父母的不敬业哈，因为总是要行淫嘛哈，不敬业，然后呢彼此的业力感召之后呢，重新进行业力整合，然后形成新的五蕴生命。那这里面的学问又更大了。
So the way that it was explained of all the karma, causes and conditions that is required for a being to be conceived, they listed a few here. One is that the being in their intermediate state or bardo, another term for that, is that combining all its past karma, merits and virtues, as well as other past retribution, and then adding that to the parents' karma as well. And as human beings or animals, there needs to be sexual desires for that to take place. And then all parties involved, their karmas will interact with each other and then reintegrate. And to form a new life that is consists of the five skandhas.
那你看哈，我们常常会亲子关系不好，有时候我们会抱怨父母亲，有时候呢会抱怨自己的小孩。可是成为亲子哈，它是业力感召，所有的一个互动的因果现象，都是父母亲的业力跟我们的业力。或是我们子女的业力一起感召而来的，绝对不是一个单方面造成的，这是一点。
So oftentimes we hear people complain about their relationship, either with their parents or their children. But when people complain like that, they fail to recognize or to remember to become parents and children.It requires an interaction and matching of each other's karma. So it's not a one-way street.
然后呢，再来一个是要业力整合。什么叫业力整合呢？我的业力是我的业力，你的业力是你的业力，我们两个要整合才可以母亲把我生下来。那我曾经知道两个 case 哈，那当然这个没有办法证实哈。有两对父母亲堕胎，好，那这两对父母亲都是富贵人家的哈，就是很有钱的人家的哈。那因为一个是因为自己要做生意，好太忙了，没时间生小孩堕胎；另外一个是夫妻吵架。很生气堕胎，然后呢这两对都是堕完胎以后怀孕期间生意都非常好的不得了，堕完胎以后生意一落千丈，然后去算命，算命先生说啊，这小孩是来报恩的，你把他生下来你会大富大贵一辈子，你现在把他堕胎了，你就等着倒霉了，这样啊，真的就倒霉了。
So after that, the karma of the parents and the children, somehow they have to be integrated and restructured in some ways,in very complicated ways, so that the child can be conceived and reborn into the parents. And I personally know of two cases. And of course, it cannot be proven. What I'm going to say, it cannot be proven, but this is what I do know personally. So there are two sets of parents, and both sets of parents are, they're pretty well-to-do, pretty wealthy.And both sets of parents have committed, decided to undergo abortion. And the first said the reason why they do it is because the business was thriving because of work. So they weren't able to, at that juncture, have the child. And the second set of parents, they decided on abortion also. Oh, that was because the mom and dad were fighting. They were having a very intense fight, so they decided to get rid of the child. And after the abortion was performed, right after the baby was conceived and before the abortion, the work and business for both sets of parents were thriving and it was flourishing. But immediately after abortion, for both sets of parents, their business start to downfall, landslide. And so they went to a fortune teller to ask for the reason. And what they were told is, it's very unfortunate that you gave, that you decided to undergo abortion because the child in your womb were actually here to repay whatever grace that you have done to them. So they're here to help to repay repay your grace, and so they have brought you a lot of wealth and good fortune, and now by getting rid of them, all those have turned out to be zero again.
Yeah, 所以我们不管生到什么样的小孩，或是来到什么样的家庭呢，其实我们的业力，大家的业力是一起的哈。 你不可以怪说，就是你是讨债鬼哈，所以生了你我很倒霉，或是说呢，哎，爸爸妈妈哈怎么样怎么样，所以假设我要是像我这么优秀的人哈，如果生在好的家庭哈，我一定哈这个哈佛没问题哈，然后这个什么没问题，然后赚大钱，这是你的幻想哈，这是我们的幻想哈，我小时候也这样想过哈。
So regardless the kind of family you are reborn into, whether it's something that's positive or something that's not as favorable, you have to remember you're in this together. You're not here alone. So some people, they may say, hey, I'm so intelligent. Had I been born into a better family, I would for sure go to Harvard or Yale with no problem. Let me tell you, these are all illusions or your own imaginations. I used to think that way, but you can't because you're all in this together.
Yes. 好，就要开始讲佛陀了哈。那这下哈，那是我们刚刚在讲凡夫版的哈。那你那今天好了，今天是一个抉择，一个佛陀要来诞生的时候呢，什么样的妈妈可以承受得起？不是一般的妈妈可以承受得起。你今天不是说。 哎呦，我就跟观世音菩萨面前求哈，你顶多可以求说，我想要一个小孩，那他就给你一个相当的小孩。你不能说我要生一个阿弥陀佛哈，或是什么大修行人再来哈，那问题是你都没有修行啊，这不可能的。今天就是佛陀要来投生了哈，什么样的妈妈可以怀这样的一个小孩呢？摩耶夫人是什么样的一个人啊？
So we have talked about before this is we're talking about the way a ordinary being is reborn. Now let's turn to the Buddha. The Buddha, who is an enlightened being with perfect virtue and merit. So what kind of mother has the capacity to conceive a baby like that? This is no ordinary being. Maya Devi, Queen Maya Devi is no ordinary being. So for us, maybe you can pray in front of the Avalokita Bodhisattva and pray for a child. But the child that you get will be someone who is sort of correspond with your own karma. You cannot pray to the Bodhisattva and say, please let a Buddha be reborn into my womb. It's not going to happen because your own merit and virtue is not at the same level. You haven't practiced hard, so you're not going to give birth to a Buddha. On the other hand, Queen Maya Devi is someone who is who has substantial amount of merit and virtue.
那摩耶夫人呢，当然在历史上来讲，哈，就是她本身是贵族家来的，哈，对，贵族的女儿，哈，家里非常的有钱，哈，那她跟她那个姨母，哈，也是姐妹嘛，哈，两个一起嫁给这个净饭王，哈，那。 他本身是贵族，然后长得又很庄严哦，然后各方面都非常的完美，这是在历史上讲的。可是呢， 在佛经上讲，华严经里面，大家有听过常地法师不是讲五十三参吗？还记得吗？五十三参第四十一参是摩耶夫人，那这就来头可大了。
So, according to the sutra, Queen Maya Devi was of royal family, and her family is also extremely wealthy. And she, along with her sister, Mahaprajapati, together they got married to King Suddhodana, who is the father of the Buddha. And so the way that she was, her family and her appearance and all different aspects according to the sutra were all perfect. And this is according to the Avatamsaka Sutra. But that's not it. That's not all of her virtues and merit. According to Avatamsaka Sutra that you have heard maybe from Changdi Fashi, she talked about the, So in the sutra, there's this,
this
practitioner who went seeking for advice and teaching from 53 well-knowing advisors. And actually, Queen Maya Devi is listed as number 41. And this goes to show that Queen Maya Devi is not someone who's ordinary, who actually is a very good practitioner herself.
所以哈，如果根据《华严经》的这个架构来讲哈，就是它有三处十慧嘛哈。那这里面来讲呢，它从实性开始，一直到等觉、妙觉、如来哈，总共53个阶次哈，就是从凡夫一直成佛的这个53个阶次，然后展开了善财童子的53参哈。那你看看41哦哈，他的41对等的是等觉哈，等觉菩萨是十地在往上是等觉，然后在妙觉，然后在佛嘛。好，前面40参讲三贤十圣。中间第41到50讲等觉菩萨，后面呢三参在讲妙觉跟佛，所以我们的这个摩耶夫人是41，是等觉菩萨哎，十地以上的等觉菩萨哎。
So in the Avatamsaka Sutra, this process of visiting 53 teachers and seeking teaching from these 53 teachers.It actually corresponds with the stages of bodhisattvas. And so each teacher corresponds with one stage. And this goes from the stage of the 10th faith and to three sagely stages, 10 saints, to the 10 stages of near perfect enlightenment, ultimately to...the stages of wondrous enlightenment, and the final stage is reaching Buddhahood. Of all these 53 stages, Queen Maya Devi is actually 41. She is already at the stage of near perfect enlightenment.
好，那在这个华严经里面，摩耶夫人跟善财童子讲，我不仅仅只是释迦牟尼佛的妈妈，我是诸佛。他发愿所有的佛可能包括那个弥勒佛，所有的佛要出生他都发愿成为他的妈妈，就跟那个阿难一样发愿都成为佛的侍者。
So in this process of seeking this 53 teachers, Queen Maya Devi told this young practitioner who's actually a bodhisattva, told him thatI am not only the mother of Shakyamuni Buddha. I have made the vow to be the mother of all Buddhas. So very likely she's going to be the mother of our next Buddha when Bodhisattva Maitreya is reborn into our world to become a Buddha.
那我们这个在入胎经里面哈，他有讲到说，其实呢，我们要入胎，我们的出生哈，有三个阶段：入胎、住胎跟出胎。好，那如果是你是大修行人的话呢，入住出都维持正念，但是我们因为有隔音之谜哈，大部分的人可能入胎有正念，住胎就不一定有，那出胎就完全忘记了哈。可是我们的佛陀呢，他在入住出的时候呢，那个摩耶夫人哈都有意象的，都有特别的感应的。
So this birthing process, according to the sutra, sutra of entering the womb, divided into three stages. Entering the womb, in the womb, exiting the womb. And there are different ways one can enter and be in as well as exit the womb. And that's tied together with whether you're able to maintain the right thought, right thinking.And for someone who's a really good practitioner and for the sages and saints, they are able to enter in the womb and exit the womb all with the right thoughts, proper thoughts and not become deluded. Most people, even if we're able to enter with clear, right thoughts, once we're in the womb and especially in the process of exiting the womb, it's highly possible that we'll lose it and become deluded again.
那在经典上常常大家都知道嘛，那个摩耶夫人呢，她就是佛陀要入胎的时候呢，摩耶夫人梦见什么大白象，那个象嘛，然后从她的右胁进去，那这就是她，然后她有那个整个的梦境的景象都非常的殊胜，那我梦见什么大地震动啊，一切花什么欣欣向荣啊，就是有特殊的意象出现，就是他入胎的时候，特别的就是那个六牙白象。
And with the way that Buddha was reborn, in the all three of these stages, entering in the womb as well as exiting the womb, there were all auspicious signs accompanying these different stages. So with entering the womb, according to the sutra,Queen Mayadevi actually had dreams about a white elephant of six tusks entering her womb. And she also dreamt of other auspicious signs such as the heaven and earth shook and all the flowers and trees flourish, etc., etc. And these are all auspicious signs of someone, a saintly person entering the womb.
这个我们这个中国禅宗有一些祖师哈。也是有这样的意象哈，是虚云老和尚吗？还是谁？他也是妈妈在受孕的时候也梦见特别的这个梦境哈。
With a lot of patriarchs and great masters the Chan school, there are also such stories. For instance, in the contemporary Master Xu Yun, when his mother conceived him, she also has similar dreams of some auspicious signs to signal the entering of a great being.
那佛陀住胎的时候就怀孕期间住胎的时候呢，这个摩耶夫人也有居然有神力，就是在经典上讲说呢，就是不管什么样的人，老幼贫贱的人，然后得到很奇奇怪怪的病到他面前，他呢手给他摸一下或是随便路边的杂草野草弄一弄，病就好了。那当然我是不能求证嘛，但是呢华严经上是这样子讲的，他说呢，他跟善财童子讲，他说我呢，他是说所有的这个跟佛相应的所有的圣人都可以进入他的肚子里面，他的肚子不是这样小小的，也不是这样大大的而已，他的肚子是跟 虚空一样，所有的人都可以在里面游行，诸 诸菩萨跟佛相应的诸菩萨都可以在里面游行自在。所以哈，像有一些母亲会讲说，她怀孕小孩的期间，饮食习惯也会改变。然后有时候你会发现，哎，你的因缘改变。假设这个小孩子特别有福报的哈，你怀胎的时候，你就发现你自己突然变得很 lucky 哈，就是什么事情都诸事顺遂哈。它不是，它是有原因的哈。比如说他的护法神，或是他的业所招引来的因缘，全部是跟你是什么整合的，所以你也会跟着好运哈。当然，佛母摩耶夫人是因为他自己本身修行力是等觉了哈，那他可以承载佛的这种功德力，包括他佛陀的先遣部队全部都可以来哈。所以佛陀还没出生的时候，他的先遣部队都已经来布局了哈，所以这是一个非常非常殊胜的一个景象。
So while the Buddha was in the womb, while Queen Mayadevi was pregnant with the Buddha, it's reported in the sutra that she's able to demonstrate a lot of supernatural powers or auspicious powers. For instance,whether it's old person, woman or female or male, rich or poor, if they're sick with any kind of diseases, they can come to her and she would either pat them on the head or pick up some random weeds on the street and give it to them and she's able to heal them. This is according to the sutra, and of course we can't prove it these days, but this is what was documented. And also in the... Even though we're not able to document it, in the Avatamsaka Sutra, when she explained things to the Dharma-seeking practitioner, she said that since I vow to be the mother of all Buddhas, actually while the Buddha is in my womb, all the beings whose karma corresponds with the Buddhas, they're able to come in and be at ease and relax in my womb as well. So her capacity for nurturing is immense. And we can understand that sort of by looking at some mothers when they're carrying their baby. Sometimes their appetite changes, they like some certain foods, or sometimes they feel like they have a stroke of luck and everything becomes so easy and lucky for the mother carrying the baby. And there are actually reasons behind it, because the baby is carrying all the good karma with him or with her. And so inside the mother's womb, as their karmas intersect, the mother is able to derive benefits from the child's good facilitating karma. As for Queen Mayadevi, herself, she may not entirely be relying on the Buddha, because she herself is already a great practitioner who is in a stage of near perfect enlightenment. So she has this capacity to nurture and hold the Buddha as well as any beings that has similar karma with the Buddha.
那佛陀的出生呢，我就不用赘言了，大家都很熟悉哈。就是什么从右胁生出来，然后又走七步，然后再讲天上天下唯我独尊这句话哈。但是从佛陀的入胎的梦境哈，是我们常常可以在一般人听到的哈。当然刚刚的神迹哈，就是助胎的时候的神迹哈，那有的人可能会不太相信。那出胎更有人，科学家就不相信，哪有人从好就是baby 从这里出生。但是无论如何，佛陀的诞生是很特别的，因为呢有预言嘛，有很多很特别的人来帮王子算命，这是很传统的，包括我们这个富贵人家生的小孩都会去找人家来算命嘛，耶稣也是哈，但是算命之后呢，都是非常特别的，这是 for sure 的哈。
So as for the way the Buddha was born, this is a common story that many of you have heard already. For instance, he was born in the park, and he came out of the right side of Queen Mayadevi. And as soon as he came out, then there were pure water raining down, cleansing his body, and then he immediately walked steps and say, "I am the most auspicious of the world." So these stories that you're already very familiar with, and some people may have questions whether, how is it possible, especially scientists today, that how is it possible that someone would be born from the armpit? That's not likely. But regardless, these are stories, and actually it happens in other religions as well, that stories to show that the birth of someone who is truly saintly and sagely is something that's really auspicious.
其实身为佛教徒，我们在人间必须要 follow 人间的逻辑跟思想，可是同时呢，我们又在追求出世间的解脱。这个时候呢，它是属于比较宗教信仰的东西呢，我们不能否认，比如说十法界的存在。好，假设我们不承认有天人存在，没有地狱的存在，什么都不存在，只有人存跟动物存在的话呢，那佛教的理论就没有办法建立。好，那我们不能说否认它，只是我们的能力没有办法感受它。好，那在十法界的这个整个宇宙的存在里面，它心的这个范围是无限广大的，它也没有限制的，这个一定要有这样的一个知见，不然的话我们不管修行任何一个法门，没有办法突破人生而为人的这个业报身的局限。那在我们所有经典看到还有很多修行人他的证悟的过程当中，其实他们会具备这样的一个能力，可以感受到不一样的世界。
So the kind of auspicious birth that Buddha demonstrated is also supported by the other prophecies that were given at the time of his birth. And similar to a lot of wealthy families or royal families these days, when a baby is born, people with special powers come to give prophecies or blessings to the baby, and great prophecies were made of the Buddha. But of all these stories of the Buddha's rebirth, whether it's immediately believable or not, the thing is, we as Buddhists, we are learning the Buddha Dharma. On the one hand, we need to follow the regulations and standards and methods of this human realm. On the other hand, what we are seeking is a way out of this mundane existence. So, listen to a story like this. We should not be so quick to negate all these things that is beyond our immediate surrounding environment. Otherwise, in the Buddhist cosmology, it talks about hell and heaven and rebirth, retribution, whatnot. If you don't believe in any of them, then the belief system cannot be established. And in this Dharma Dhatu, the 10 Dharma realms, we need to know, this is very important, that our mind is immense. It doesn't have any boundaries. This is something we have to believe in firmly. Otherwise, we will forever be bound by our immediate existence, and there's no way for us to transcend beyond our human existence.
因为等一下要讲的哈，也都是蛮神奇的哈。那但是呢，如果大家会离席也没有关系，因为呢，佛陀在讲《华严经》跟《法华经》的时候呢，就是很神奇。之后呢，法身大士就离席了哈。那更何况我们也不是法身大士，听一听觉得这个很滑稽哈。那这个佛陀呢，他出生七天母亲就往生，好，这个在历史上有记载，所以是他的妹妹来照顾佛陀长大。 可是佛陀虽然没不记得他的母亲，就是身为人身，但是他非常的怀念他自己的母亲，而且他想要就是帮助他的母亲，所以呢他曾经他要涅槃前呢，他生刀立天为母说法。
The reason why I just said all that is I need to preface it, because the next part of our talk is going to be even more bizarre, shall we say, or out of our ordinary understanding. And as this talk continues, if some way through it you feel like the stories are simply not believable and you want to leave, that's okay too, because when Buddha expounded a lot of these sutras, when he was giving teaching about Samsaka Sutra, some of the things that he said were just beyond people's imagination. And some of the disciples, such as Fa Shen Da Shi, advanced disciples, high-level disciples, actually just left the audience and saying that this is not believable. So that's okay too. Anyway, continuing on to talk about Maya Devi, the mother of the Buddha. So according to the sutra, Queen Maya Devi passed away 7 days immediately after the birth of the Buddha. And even though the Buddha wasn't able to interact with her or remember her clearly, but before he entered Nirvana, he still wanted to repay the grace of his mother, and he still wants to benefit her. So before he entered Nirvana, he actually went to Sita Heaven to give a teaching to his birth mother.
所以在这个生刀立天三个月说法的过程中，当然了，我们现在不是佛学的这个考证的这个，最有名的是地藏经嘛，那当然也有人说地藏经不是真的，反正他就是为道立天去讲地藏经。那当然还有一部经大家比较不常听的，叫做摩诃摩耶经，这就是特别去跟他母亲说法的，那都是在他 announce 他要涅槃的，他就跟他母亲说他要涅槃了，那再就讲这个经，然后再回到人间来涅槃。
So the Buddha was in Tusita Heaven for 3 months before he entered Nirvana. And of those teachings, the most famous one is the Chittagara Bodhisattva, Earth Store Bodhisattva Sutras. Some people doubt the truth value of that sutra. But it's actually very famous in the Chinese Buddhist canon. And in addition, there's also another sutra that is less well known. It's called Mahamoya Sutra. And it's another one that the Buddha expounded on while his time at Tusita Heaven right before he entered Nirvana.
那其实这是我个人的哈，我个人在看到这个刀立天为母说法这个地藏经，然后再看到53参的时候，我觉得非常的吻合哈，因为地藏经是佛陀为母说法，可是呢是地藏王菩萨出来好的当主角，对不对？可是地藏王菩萨也是实地的菩萨，那在整部地藏经的过程中，其实的过程是佛陀在交办托孤给地藏王菩萨的同时，他是在教实地的菩萨怎么样修行后得住后得智来利益一切的众生。那这个摩耶夫人在华严经来讲，她是实地以后的菩萨等觉嘛，也是要修后得智的，所以整部地藏经为什么是他是为了摩耶夫人上去讲地藏经，但是主角是地藏王菩萨。
As for myself, when I was reading this, the part about Buddha giving a teaching in Tusita Heaven, and then matching that with the Avatamsaka of the 53 investigations of Buddha Dharma, the famous 53 seeking of the teaching. I actually find correspondence that they actually go hand in hand with each other. So the Buddha, when he was given in the Chitagavara Earth Store Bodhisattva Sutra, the main purpose is the Buddha is entrusting the responsibility of taking care of sentient beings to Chitagavara Bodhisattva, telling him to take care of the sentient beings after he is gone. Meanwhile, the Buddha is also giving instruction to Chitagavara Bodhisattva about how to cultivate further wisdom and merit to nurture sentient beings. This makes sense because the sutra was expounded in Tusita Heaven. And Tusita Heaven of Maya Devi, she is also someone who is in the process of gaining further wisdom to nurture all sentient beings. So it feels like the audience and the content of teaching is actually a good match.
那最后了哈，那更神奇的来了哈，跟耶稣一样，就是佛陀要涅槃了哈，在涅槃哈。那根据这个刚刚讲的《佛陀摩诃摩耶经》里面讲的哈，佛陀就刀立天三个月说法回到人间，然后就准备要涅槃了哈，啊他就真的涅槃了哈。涅槃了之后，佛母知道的时候很伤心，就像我们每一个人母亲知道儿子往生，每个人都很伤心嘛，对吧？摩耶夫人就从刀立天来到人间来看佛陀最后一面，就佛陀他已经涅槃了哈，已经棺盖起来了哈，知道母亲来了哈，把盖棺材再掀开，再起来，再跟母亲说法。然后再涅槃，那我们刚刚不是在过那个 Easter 吗？那叫什么日子啊？好，复活节哈，耶稣也复活，我们的佛陀也复活。那在我们的经典里面，就是他的复活是为了母亲，好，他把棺盖打开，讲法，然后再把关起来，然后就真的走了这样子哈。
The next part is even more bewildering, and it's actually kind of similar to the story of Jesus Christ. So the Buddha gave 3 months of teaching at Tusita Heaven to his mother right before he was entering Nirvana, in preparation for Nirvana. And then after which he returned to our world and entered Nirvana. And his mother, Queen Maya Devi, heard about his passing away, was grieving and extremely sorrowful, just like any mother would feel when they hear that their child has passed away. So Maya Devi came to our world to grieve and to pay respect to the Buddha. And upon her arrival, at that time, the Buddha's casket has already closed. Knowing his mother has arrived, he actually opened it up again and rise and give his mother a final teaching, and then lay down again. So this is kind of, we just had Easter, right? People just celebrated Easter, and similar stories was also talked about Jesus Christ. So in the Buddhist canon, so the Buddha has actually arisen also from death, but the purpose of his revival was to give a teaching, a final teaching to his own mother.
那他最后哈，在把棺材盖起来之前，最后跟妈妈讲的话是这个。他说呢，我在此生已经结束了哈。那所要告诉这个众生怎么样修清净的心，我也已经这示现给大家看了呢。所以所做已办，不受后有了哈。就是像阿罗汉一样，他说我该做的都做了哈。就是这样子。那希望母亲你不要难过。好，因为什么呢？一切行是无常的，只要有住，好，有住就是生灭法。那其实是没有生灭法。假设生灭灭矣呢，即灭为乐。这个常常听到哈，就是他最跟母亲最后讲的一段话。
So the final teaching the Buddha gave to his mother is this verse. My life has come to an end. And I have established pure practice and set examples for my disciples and left it in this world already. The pure practice has already been established. So everything that I came, that I have intended to do is already accomplished. And consequently, there is no further residual karmas that I have to undergo. Even though I'm dying, I wish that, Mother, you would not, you can still feel peace and comfort. There's no need for you to be overly vexed and grieve. After all phenomenons are impermanent. Anything that exists is governed by the principles of birth and death, or arising and succession. Even the phenomenon of arising and succession, as it comes to an end, the ultimate bliss is quiescence and nirvana. So this is the final teaching that he gave to his mother.
所以呢，他要安慰我们哈，就说佛陀走的没关系，但是呢，诸行无常，诸法什么涅生灭啊，诸法无涅槃寂静，三法印，好，大家要记得如实修行。好，那今天讲这一段哈，供养大众，分享一下哈，我们来庆祝佛陀的诞生。So
even though initially it was intended for his mother, this is actually a teaching that Buddha was giving all of us, all his disciples, upon his departure. When he was dying, whoever who hasn't obtained arhatship, were all grieving. And the Buddha essentially is telling us, as well as his mother, that it's okay. It's okay. And all that we have to remember and continue to practice toward is the three understanding that's encapsulated in the three seals, three Dharma seals, which is all things are impermanent. All things lack inherent existence. There's no self. And the nirvana is the perfect quiescence. So this is what we have to remember and continue to practice toward. And so today, at Buddha's birthday, I want to share this verse and this teaching with all of you as a way for us to celebrate Buddha's birth.